Hey everyone, welcome back to the Gary V Audio Experience. Once again, I'm Jacob from Team Gary, and today we have Carly from Team Gary choosing this week's Team Gary V Throwback Thursday episode. She's chosen episode 128 of the Ask Gary V Show featuring Casey Neistat. We hope you enjoy it.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Case, tell the Vayner Nation, for the one or two people that don't know who you are. This is a first time, second time guest appearance, and we've only had like three guests ever, so clearly I like you a lot, Case.
Thanks for having me, it's great to be here. Who am I? I make videos, I have a technology company, and I'm a huge admirer of you, Gary, and this wonderful show that you've been putting out there for all of us viewers.
I appreciate it. So, I think we'll just get right into it. I think we had a lot of questions yesterday, kind of tweeted out that you'd be here and people got excited. You have a new startup, which we'll give some time. I'd like you to talk about it for a few minutes.
Great.
But India, that's why I went on the left side.
I know.
Let's get into the show.
Okay,
not bad, you are getting better. I'm gonna have to find some new ticks to throw you off. India, let's get into it.
Lucy asks, at the age of 18, what's the best way to approach a company and ask for work experience?
Wait, you ask for an internship?
You ask for work? Don't you just ask for work?
Because a lot of people come to companies and it says like you need this many years of experience.
Oh, I see.
But how do you get that experience if nobody wants to hire you because everybody
when you're 18?
Yeah.
I got an answer to this. I mean, I think that we now live in a world. Casey, how many people hit you up on Twitter, email, other platforms, comments on YouTube, you must have a gajillion. How many times have you in your career, when would you say that you started really building into a place where people were really pinging you? Is this now a 2, 3, 4 year phenomenon for you?
For work.
Yes.
Yeah,
not,
you know,
for work, more like people that are fans of you, clearly, at this point.
It's been a long time. I mean,
how long you think?
I mean, I think since the first video I made went viral over 10 years ago.
Got it. So it's been pretty consistent since then. Good. How many times have you randomly done stuff? Yes, met someone, got on a phone. How many times?
If I could count that, Gary, more than I could ever keep track of.
That's your answer. Who was the question?
Lucy.
Lucy, that's your answer. I also, the majority of this entire team is based on random shit. Like, so I think you just ask as many times as possible. There are unlimited companies. In a world where you can get to almost anybody because of Twitter, again, a true social network, more so than comments on content, which a lot of other platforms are, email at this point I think has been played out. It's harder to like get to people through email, but that will still work too. I think it's stunning that you can get to most people in the world today. I don't think people are as many people are as wired as you and I think people have drawn the line to know, but there's plenty. And we're not the only two nice guys or believing in serendipity. There are tens of thousands wildly accomplished CEOs, co-founders that will absolutely hire you on spec from one request to get experience, whether they give you an internship or pay you minimum wage or even give you a salary. It is a wide open field. It's about asking.
Yeah, I mean, I would even compliment what everything Gary just said. I would compliment that, Lucy, by saying you also have an opportunity via these myriad social outlets and the internet as a whole, not just to reach out and contact people, but to actually prove yourself. Like, if you need to show this experience that these people are seeking after, just do it. You don't need someone's permission to do that. If you want to work in construction, build something. If you want to work on in an automotive factory, work on cars. If you want to be a filmmaker, make videos. You now have these multitude of options in front of you to show that you're capable. If you want to be a writer, write something.
You know what happens in that environment? If you actually have it, not everybody has it, but if you actually have it, you start getting into a place very quickly that you realize, oh wait, I don't need to have a job in the first place.
That's right. No longer do you need sort of the runway to prove your worth on. You don't need someone else's approval. You just do it yourself. Scary and very hard to do. It's not to be underestimated just how challenging that is, but it doesn't mean that the opportunity isn't there. And that opportunity wasn't there 10, 15 years ago, but it's uniquely there now.
We are byproducts of that game.
My entire career is a product of that game.
I had a liquor store in New Jersey and got a $300 camera at Best Buy and decided to make wine videos because I wanted to be like Emeril.
Wine videos.
India, let's move it. Oh, by the way, I didn't get weird there out of nowhere. We are streaming on Facebook Live right now. It'll be interesting to see. It's a whole different dynamic because these shows are consumed so much on Facebook Live, which launched yesterday. India?
Benjamin asks, Where does confidence come from? How do you both work on it?
That's tough.
I'll let you go first here.
Confidence, I mean...
Hold on.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I couldn't...
You didn't know the address?
Gary, over your left shoulder is my electric skateboard right there.
Yes.
I rode that electric skateboard up here, and if there's one thing you don't want to do while traveling 24 miles an hour in heavy traffic through New York City on an electric skateboard, it's to whip out your phone and double check an address.
Respect.
So you got to write that down.
Respect. All right, answer Ben's question about your outrageous
level.
So how does one have enough confidence to ride an electronic skateboard 24 miles an hour in New York City?
I have an answer that's not really a great one for people to hear, so I'm hoping you have a better answer than I do, Gary. My answer goes like this. I'm one of four kids. There was the firstborn, the only daughter, and the baby, and then there's the forgotten child, Casey. So in my household, it was like fight to survive, and my confidence was like born into me out of a need to just exist and be noticed and be fed. Now, not everyone has had the beautiful misfortune that yielded the fortune of my childhood that turned me into a confident person, but I think it's very different from someone who finds themselves as an adult in a world that sort of thrives on those who have confidence and being forced to find that within yourself. But one shortcut I've found to that is by making something, making anything, whether that's writing something, whether it's something creative, whether it's something more pragmatic, whether that's a relationship, whether that's a friendship. If you generate something, you take comfort in what it is that you just made in your yield. And I think that's a really great shortcut to finding confidence.
Casey, give me a word association play real quick here. Fear.
Illness.
Illness?
Yeah, that's
right. I really didn't want you to go there. Thanks for screwing up my answer. For me,
being sick is the only thing that I'm scared of.
By the way, that's really funny. Actually, that's really interesting because I was dissing a little bit and now I'm gonna put you on a pedestal. It is literally the health and well-being of the people weirdly for me, it's the people I love. Is scary ass crap for me. It's a very big challenge and we all go through it, and so I'm with you on that. Where I was going with that is this. I am not scared to fail by any stretch of the imagination, and it comes in the form of truly being in this weird place where I really don't give a rat's ass what anybody thinks. And again, that's wiring. How does one work on that? What do you think? I go in my room like, don't care what anybody thinks. Don't care what anybody, like, you don't do that.
Yeah, you get made fun of a lot in high school and it seems like the entire world is falling apart because you're being picked on.
I want people to make fun of me.
You grow up and you realize it doesn't matter what other people
think.
You really don't. Really doesn't. And appreciating
it's like those last 2 weeks of high school. If you can capture that feeling, those last 2 weeks in high school, literally everybody stops caring what anybody thinks because you're all going somewhere else. And so I've always had that feeling. It's crazy how, you know, I was born with confidence. I truly believe that. I do believe in my case, I also had the fortunate aspects of coming from a struggle place in a different way. On the flip side, my mom, I was the firstborn, the apple of my mom's eye. And so I had massive positive reinforcement, which then just made me feel entitled to success in an environment where I was failing classes. I was 4'11" when I went into my freshman year of high school. Not so strong. Of a situation, but I walked out. I mean, my book bag was bigger. Where's your big book bag?
Like, didn't bring it today. Not on the skateboard, Gary.
Like, I literally, like, my book bag was like your size. Like, let me tell you a story about my freshman year. Ninth day of school, I'm walking down the hallway. I'm late for a class. I have a Jordache book bag that's twice the size of me. I'm walking. It's like 8 minutes after the bell rang, I'm lost as fuck because we have a huge high school. I have no idea where I am. This is terrible, right? There's some dude hanging out of class with Paige Parlow, who's one of the hottest girls in our school. It's 8 days into school. I know who she is. She's a sophomore. He's a senior. I'm walking by them. He goes, psst. I go, yeah. He goes, the nursery school's over there. That's what happened to me. Do you know what I went through? What went through my mind? I said, wait till I face punk. Sorry, India. That's what went through my mind. And that's just where I've always been. I know it's a little crude.
Gary Vaynerchuk, folks.
All right, let's move on.
India's blushing right now.
I am, but I blush all the time, so.
Andrew's really blushing.
Yeah.
That was fun.
All right.
Alan asks, Casey, How will you define if Beam is a success or not, if you haven't already?
I definitely haven't already. Beam, which is my technology startup, here's some context.
Link that up, D-Rock.
We'll link
it below. In the Facebook post, in the YouTube post. Let's make sure everyone...
In fact, we'll put a link
download it
below that if you click on it, will automatically unlock Beam for you, and you will automatically be following Gary.
Ooh.
You like that? We're working. That's a new product we got. New feature.
Take
we got.
That.
In the history of social networks, there's maybe been, what would you say? How many have succeeded?
Seven.
That is the swimming pool that we are currently wading around in. So to call yourself a success...
And I think we define that as success of like such meaningful scale, financial stability, looking like it's going to go in the
impact,
right direction.
Yeah, social impact things like
sure.
that. To me, that is a success. And I mean it when you can count it on less than two hands, how many companies have succeeded. It's not just catching a unicorn. It is the most... The rarest, hardest thing you could ever hope to accomplish in the space of technology. That's what we're trying to do. So have I considered it a success? Not even close. Ask me in 4 or 5 years.
Click the app. Look, to me, one could argue that it's a success right now. The amount of people that I come across who are doing other things in their career that want to go then make a app that has the ambition to win the consumer web game is extraordinarily high. The amount that even saw the day of light with well-financed funding, it's repetitive, with money, with all the things going in their way, is very small. Then to have that happen, on top of which, to have a very smart, you're a tremendous marketer, you know, that means a lot to me. You know, I'm sure you define yourself in a lot of different ways, but your marketing skills are very high. I admire them. The amount of noise and excitement that was generated felt amazing to me. Then you gotta back it up. So now there's the next challenge. Now is the tough part, is actually making the product at that level, so.
Yeah, I mean, some of the...
Are you typing a new, I'm sorry, don't do a new one. If it's done, it's done. Cool, all right.
We just lost our Facebook.
No.
But some of the greatest failures ever were a gigantic pile, an aggregate of tiny successes. So I appreciate everything you just said, and I really hold dear the tiny successes we've had thus
60
far.
60 seconds for everybody who's watching what it is, how you describe it in 60. I know that's tough, but.
What Beam is Beam is a way of sharing via video, the tiny moments you experience in life and doing it in a way that's absolutely dynamic but doesn't interrupt the moment. And within this 60-second window, I can demonstrate to you exactly how that happens, and it looks like this. Like right now, I'm capturing video of this entire set of Gary's beautiful face, just like that. And when you hear the noise, that means it's been shared to all of my followers. That's what Beam is.
You know what I love? But you'll never be able to see what you just shared.
Well, not until it's live in the network and everybody else can. And that's the whole idea, is to remove the scrutiny, is to remove sort of controlling the image of yourself and your life that you put out there. I like to say, Beam is not about sharing how the world sees you, it's sharing how you see the world.
And what's interesting about that is what's really happening in social is platforms are showing who you want to be to the world. We are all living in the most PR'd version of ourselves. We have 15-year-old girls running around America right now who are massive growth hackers, who understand the speed in which likes come in on an Instagram photo that took them 17 minutes to take, and then they take it down within the first 60 seconds because they don't like the data that's coming back as fast as, and they reset literally 3-hour dynamics to pull off the one picture that's gonna capture the moment of that concert you went to, which is PR at its finest. It's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, we're trying to get away from that because I think like the ethos, the principle behind this, our mission statement is to promote understanding by sharing perspective. And I think like if you can tap into other people's perspectives, you get a better idea as to what the world is around you.
When I decide I'm an investor, when I really got excited, I'm still excited for this moment, is the thought of like the first time I go on stage and Beam to me is so exciting. Like literally people seeing what I get to see when I give these keynotes versus watching me is an exciting moment for me.
Do you know, and we can stop talking about Beam in a second, but last night, a friend of mine named Sean Duras, you know him
yeah.
from Snapchat.
Yeah.
Sean beamed his daughter being born.
What?
I mean, my wife and I watched it this morning in bed, and we were both crying. I mean, it was unbelievable. It wasn't the yucky stuff, and it wasn't the stuff that you would deem inappropriate, but it was his wife in the chair, in the bed, being anxious, and then the next shot, he's holding his beautiful newborn baby girl.
Cool.
And it was such an emotional, such a real, raw thing. And that's what we're hoping to accomplish. He didn't think, he just shared.
Love it.
Next question.
Alex asks, what advice would you give to a high school student struggling to decide what to pursue as a future career?
I've got an answer. Get busy. Do something, do anything. And one of my favorite pieces of advice as to exactly what you should do is do something you hate. Like, I didn't find my passion for entrepreneurship and filmmaking and everything that I've done in my career. I didn't find that by doing it. I found that by scrubbing pots in a really terrible seafood restaurant. Because when you spend 50 hours a week scrubbing pots, it's 50 hours a week you're obsessing about what you wish you were doing. Sitting around playing video games in your parents' sweet house is the worst way to find your mission in life. Doing something, staying busy, is a really, really easy path to find something you truly want to invest yourself in.
I would also then say, to recognize that playing video games in your parents' sweet house is probably your outlet to success in your career. I would say that your ultimate strengths and wants are the quickest gateway drug to upside once you recognize that there's something to be done there. Too many of you and in the world don't believe that the thing they like doing the most has financial upside. We've drawn a line in the sand that the thing we like is what we do when we have time to do it like, and the other place is to either make money or get by. So many people in the other bucket are driven by, I'm gonna go into finance because that's where the money is, or, you know, I just need enough money and then I'm gonna have good work-life balance, I'll be on a softball team, I'll play video games. I really believe that somebody who's watching this right now who obsesses on being on 6 softball teams right now literally can make $127,000 a year in ad revenue and live events and a couple other sponsorships and selling a couple t-shirts by literally becoming the authority on softball in America.
My son, who is a junior in high school, is spending a good piece of his summer, including right now today, at a university in Connecticut studying computer science, specifically focused on video game design.
Yeah.
Just at that.
I mean, video game culture when we were kids, like to think it was a mass industry. I mean, esports is gonna be bigger than baseball in this country in 20 years. Esports is going to be a bigger business than Major League Baseball in 30 years from now. I'll go 30, I'm gonna hedge a little bit. In 30 years from now. I mean, that is incredible to me. India?
Atia asks, if you could swap out one quality of your own for one of Casey's and vice versa, what would it be?
Mine's very easy. I don't know if you know me well enough to answer this question, but mine's very easy. I'm a wimp when it comes to physical stuff. I don't ride skateboards, I don't surf or ski. I do very little risk adventure. I look at GoPros, I'm like, who gives a rat's ass? Like, that's not even in my consideration set. You know, one time I jumped off like a 50-foot cliff in Jamaica, I still can't believe I did that. Like, you know, because there was a lot of chicks there. You know, like, so it was like peer pressure, college stuff. I mean, everybody jumped, you know, like some like 8-year-old jumped, like, all right. So having a little bit of an adventurous bone would be intriguing to me. I mean, look, I'm super happy with the way I am, but if I have to answer the question, having a little bit of that free spiritedness, I think is really attractive to me.
You know, I'm gonna go really specific here, Gary, and that's your taste and eye for wine. You know, I'm an uneducated kid from a lower middle class house, yet I present myself as someone who's fairly sophisticated. But when it comes to wine, which all conversations in this world lead to wine, I couldn't tell you which one came from a box and which one came from Gary's cellar. And that's something I really appreciate. You treat it like an art form, Gary.
I have a feeling we're gonna have a video maybe in 12 to 18 months from now, we are gonna have to like drink very high-end wine while like jumping out of like a plane or something. We're just gonna combine
this. I hope not in that order.
No, in that order. We're gonna be really, we may forget to parachute out. It'll be big news. We'll probably get the most press we've ever gotten.
That's true.
You know, we're gone.
Great YouTube video.
We just drank too much wine, we're gonna have to pull the cord.
Yeah. Before we end this video.
Yes.
You're looking buff, man.
Crazy,
man,
right?
You're getting jacked, huh?
It's happening.
Yeah, big time.
It's happening. But you, I mean, look at this. Give them something. Give them something. Give them
It's just, this is because I have to carry this big ass camera around all the time. That's the only reason why I have the physique I have, is to support my career.
Case, the guest always gets to ask the question of the day. What question? I know you already, you had to pull one out the last time. Don't repeat it. You're trying to recall what it was, so I'm buying you some time. Anything you'd like, fire away.
That I ask the audience.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to answer it in the comment section.
Okay. How about something broad, which is give us some generic advice for how we could be better communicators to you. Gary and I both have this platform that we've built, but we have this big platform that's a huge loudspeaker that we can speak to a lot of people from. What is it that we don't talk about enough? What is it that we should be sharing more of that could have a greater
or
impact?
How.
Yeah.
Or how. Yeah.
That stuff we hear and we appreciate. This is great.
Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, of course, anytime.
I'll save for the next one. You keep asking questions, we'll keep answering them.
Thanks so much for listening or watching to that episode of the Gary V Audio Experience. We really hope you enjoy it, and we hope to see you next time.